God has his ways of training, which are very different from man's. Today people say, if you want to serve God, go to a Bible school. God didn't send Moses to Bible school. He sent him to be a shepherd, because what was needed for Moses to become a zero in his own eyes? He was an eloquent man. You know that? We read very clearly. Let me show you that passage. It says in Acts chapter 7 that Moses was eloquent. Turn with me to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. Moses was educated, verse 22, in all the learning of the Egyptians. Acts 7:22. In all, 100% of the learning of the Egyptians, Moses got that education. The best academies and universities of Egypt. And that was the top place to study those days. It's like Harvard today. And he was on top of that, he was a very eloquent man, a powerful speaker, man of power in words and also in action. Whatever action it was in those days, he could drive chariots and he could lead people into battle and all that. He was learned and a man of power in words and in deeds. But one day when he saw one of the Israelites being ill-treated, he stood with him and said, I belong to these people. And God saw that decision he took. And God said, I now have to take out all this wisdom of Egypt from you. All the things you have learned in Egypt have to go. I have to teach you my ways. And that will not be in a Bible school. That will be by humbling you, making you look after sheep, and breaking your strength. This is one of the big mistakes that Christendom has made, training people for God's service by sending them to a Bible school. Jesus never sent any of his disciples to a Bible school. There was a strong Bible school in Jerusalem those days, run by a wonderful professor called Gamaliel. He seemed to be some type of godly Jew. You read about him in Acts chapter 5, chapter 4 and 5. But he did not know the Lord. There was a great scholar in his academy, his Bible college, called Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He spent 3 years under Gamaliel. And when the Lord converted him, the Lord told him, I have to now send you for 3 years into the deserts of Arabia. You read that in Galatians 1. To take out all the chaff that Gamaliel has put into your head. All that you learned in Bible school has to be taken out. Then you will come to the level of my other disciples who never went to a Bible school. So people who go to Bible school have to get all that chaff taken out of their head before they can serve the Lord. And that's the tragedy of Christendom today, that people come with all that education and intelligence to serve God. None of Jesus' disciples would have ever qualified to be a pastor today in most churches, because they don't have any degrees. They never went to a Bible school. You see how different it was in Jesus' day, how he trained his disciples to serve him compared to today, and how foolish today's Christians are to think that to serve God you go to a Bible school and get a degree. I thank God with all my heart that I never went to a Bible school or got any Bible college degree. So in the wilderness, God trained him and he meets with him face to face. It begins in Exodus chapter 3, where in the burning bush he meets with Moses. And he tells Moses, I'm choosing you to go out and serve me. And Moses says, Lord, I can't speak. You read that in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Exodus 4:10. What did we read in Acts 7? A man mighty in words. How did he suddenly become slow of speech and slow of tongue? Because 40 years in the wilderness, looking after sheep. 40 years of living with his father-in-law. I mean, 1 year living with your father-in-law is enough to humble most people. God kept Moses 40 years living with his father-in-law. And then he was thoroughly broken. He says, now, Moses, you're ready for my service. You've become a zero in your own eyes. Once you were mighty in words, now you feel you can't even speak. In fact, he was so eager not to be the leader It's one of the great qualities of truly godly men. They have no desire to be the leader. They say, Lord, please send somebody else. That's what he says in Exodus 4:13. Please, Lord, send somebody else. Don't send me. I'm not fit. It's so different from many preachers today think, surely I'm the most qualified to be the leader and I'm most qualified to be the elder. And all the others are dumb people compared to me. I'm perfectly qualified. Such people are totally unfit to serve God. And they despise people like Moses. And yet Moses was the one who was truly qualified to serve God. But I want you to see something here. God told him, no, you're the one. You've got to go to Egypt. And on his way to Egypt, remember, this is the man who's been trained for 80 years. The only man on earth available to deliver God's people from bondage. There was only one man. And on his way to Egypt, as he's about to begin his ministry, you see these amazing words. Exodus 4:24. On his way, the Lord met with Moses and tried to kill him, as if the Lord has any problem killing anyone. It says the Lord sought to kill Moses. Amazing. The one man on earth, the only man on earth who was fit to serve God at that time for that ministry, God puts him to death. Where will you get another man? You'll have to train another man for another 80 years. Why did God do that? Why does God deal like this with the servants? He calls him one moment and gives him supernatural power as he did all those miracles through him earlier on in the chapter, and then says, I'll kill you. Why? Because Moses had not obeyed the law that God gave Abraham that all your children must be circumcised. A small thing. Moses had two sons and he did not circumcise that one. And his wife, who was not a Jew, not a descendant of Abraham, she obviously objected. She said, we don't believe in circumcision. And he listened to his wife. And that's why his son was not circumcised. And when Zipporah, his wife, Exodus 4:25, saw her husband dying, maybe suffocating for breath and dying, she knew he was dying and she knew immediately why it was. Because I'm sure Moses and Zipporah had many arguments. We have to circumcise our son. We've got to circumcise our son. He said, no. She said, no, nothing doing. And he yielded. And finally, Zipporah herself took a flint, cut off her son's foreskin, and threw it at Moses' feet and said, you're a bridegroom of blood to me. See, like Job's wife, Zipporah was another very difficult woman. Moses was married to a difficult wife, just like Job. But yet, he triumphed over it all. Not everybody has a wonderful life like Sarah, who called Abraham Lord. Some of these men had very difficult wives. God uses both. And then, it says in verse 26 of Exodus 4, God left him alone. It's okay. Now you can go. What does that teach us? Earlier on, God meeting with him at the burning bush, the goodness of God. God's strictness. Here, the severity of God. Some people think God has met with me, he's anointed me, he's filled me with the Holy Spirit. He will not treat me. He will not kill me now. Yes, he will. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. You can't play the fool with him. You can't take advantage of the fact that he's used you so much or he's anointed you so powerfully that now you can take it easy and relax and be careless in your conduct or careless in your attitude to sin or careless in your relationship with your fellow believers or become rude or arrogant. It's happened to so many people and they've lost the anointing of God. God hasn't killed them. He just killed the anointing. And that's worse than dying. I'll tell you. Many times I prayed to God, Lord, you take away anything from me, but don't take away the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I don't mind being paralyzed head to foot, but I will not give up the anointing of the Holy Spirit.